without any disrespect to the foregoing and what's going on now as we gather together in God's house to worship Him and adore Him. I am so privileged to be among you. This is Father's Day. My Heavenly Father is a Father, and He overshadows all of us. Amen. It just fills you up. The gospel lesson today is Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through chapter 10, verse 15. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel of our Lord Christ according to Matthew. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey, or extra shirt or sandals or staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. The gospel of our Lord Christ according to Matthew.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Father in heaven, we thank you for the joy of these baptisms. Thank you for the words that came out, the words that were shared. And Lord, just pray that you would use me, my weakness, to reveal your power and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My challenge, I want to abbreviate my message today, because we've already had a lot of good messages. But why am I here? What's the purpose to my life? Those are the questions I was asking myself in college. Have you ever asked those questions about yourself? Why am I here? What's my purpose? You know, you can be thankful that you're asking those questions, because a lot of people, I think, because of technology, they don't think very deeply anymore. They're just kind of being entertained or distracted. Why am I here? What's my purpose? Most atheists, like a Bertrand Russell, accept the fact that without God, life has no meaning or purpose. We're just a product of our DNA and chemical reactions. And so how do you find your purpose? I think there's just really two ways to do it. One way is to look inward. The other one is to look upward. I tried looking inward, and I just found a lot of dead-end roads. Just nothing seemed to have enough purpose, enough significance, money, other things. Just didn't seem to have that purpose and meaning that would make life fulfilling. And then, by the mercy of God, I looked upward. And I found my purpose in Christ, looking upward. God made me, so he knows why he made me. So he knows what my purpose is. And what did Jesus say? Come follow me. Is the path when you follow Jesus straight? It's kind of curvy, isn't it? You have to pay attention. Ups and downs. So you follow Jesus through life. And today we're going to look at Exodus. And it's about people that have been in slavery for many years. What would being in slavery do to any sense of purpose or value that a person had? It would really rob them, wouldn't it? And so we're going to look today at this passage from Exodus. And what effect would slavery have on a person's life? What effect would slavery have on a person's life? Little education, you not take the initiative, lack of purpose. Do you know slavery is still an issue today in the world? And I've read that when people come out of slavery, even simple economics is a challenge for them. And so people lack initiative that have been enslaved. So here are people coming out of slavery. What does God have to say to them? And we can be enslaved to a lot of things in this world. But we'll look at this passage. On the third new moon, that's another way of saying kind of 3 months, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into, what's it say, wilderness of Sinai. Then they set out for Rephidim and came into, what's it say, wilderness of Sinai. And they encamped in the wilderness. Why do you think it's emphasized so much? Let me show you a picture of the wilderness. That's what it looks like. You see any 7-Elevens? Food lions? Gas stations? That's what it looks like. Complete dependence on God. There Israel encamped before the mountain while Moses went up to God, and God called to him out of the mountain and said, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I can do to the Egyptians, how I bore you on the eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Isn't this what salvation is? Egypt represents slavery and bondage. God sets us free from bondage, and the bondage of selfishness and sin sets us free. And then what's he do? He lifts us out of the bondage, how I bore you on eagle's wings. And what's the ultimate goal of salvation? To bring us into relationship with God. Isn't this what Jesus did for us? Set us free from the bondage of sin and selfishness. by the cross, and then he raises us up to new life. He brings us into relationship with God. Christianity is all about relationship with God. Now, the next passage is this Exodus passage continuing. Now, therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be, what's it say? My treasured possession. For people that have been enslaved for a long time, you think that was an encouraging word? You're my treasured possession? That was one of the words that came out during the baptism. My treasured possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me, what's it say? A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. But you are a chosen. This is the New Testament now. Have you found out that there's not a lot new in the New Testament? That a lot of what you find is already in the Old Testament? So this thing about being a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What would a nation of priests look like? What would a nation of priests look like? I looked that up on Google, and this is one of the images that came up. It's not my favorite image, but I thought, you know, they're really trying to capture, what would a nation of priests look like? What would a nation of, what would a church of priests look like? What if everybody in this church had the attitude they were a priest? What's a priest? Priests connect people with God and connect God to people. What if everybody in this church, what if there was somebody missing and you noticed and so you called them up or sent them a card or you cared about them? You know, one of the things we sense as leadership here is we need to expand like the core group. But if everybody in this church saw themselves as a priest, you come and you care about others, you feel responsible for ministering to other people, and fathers and mothers, to be a priest to your children. Are you the priest where you work? Are you the priest in your neighborhood? For people coming out of slavery, do you see where this God's trying to impart purpose in their life? Do we need to have purpose? That's what brought me to Jesus. I could find no purpose outside of God. So we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people of his own possession. We have a young man with Down syndrome. You know, we have a joyful noise ministry to people with special abilities. This young man, his name is Nate. And I noticed when Nate came Tuesday night to our group, he had a cross on. And in the middle of the cross was a lion. And on the back was a quote about from Book of Revelation, Lion of Judah. And Nate, I said, well, that's really neat. He said, do you know why I wear this cross? He said, I want to display my faith in Jesus. I want to display my faith in Jesus. Wow. And he was hoping that people would interact with him. Nate's a priest at Walgreens. He sees himself ministering into that place. You know, Pastor Nile last Sunday talked about bearing one another's burdens, caring for one another. And one of the best ways to care for someone is to have Holy Spirit sensitive listening to somebody. If you're a good listener, some people just come in my office, I listen to them, I try to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and they walk out and say, wow, thank you, you really helped me. And I was just listening and caring. You can make such a difference in somebody else's life if you see yourself as a priest to them, caring and listening to them. And then, you know, excuse me, that's a two-way street. You go back and forth about that. So we're called to be priests, a church of priests, bearing one another's burdens, caring for one another. So that image I don't like, but I do like this image, a kingdom of priests. P- people caring for each other, reaching out to all people different ages, different color of skin, and that's our call as a church, to be from all different backgrounds, caring and loving each other. And if you look at our vision quilt up here, we have the lighthouse to be a light in the darkness, a fountain of renewal. You see the top is a bridge to unity. Today at 4 o'clock, there's going to be a Methodist church that meets here. And you see that the next one is an image. You can't see it very well, but it's like little faces. It reminds me of this image, where people coming together, different colors, different backgrounds, different ages, loving each other, ministering to each other, caring for each other. That's kind of what we were talking about in the baptism. But there is some prejudice I noticed in this picture. Do you notice it? Everybody has hair. Everybody has hair. When you share the burden with somebody, when you share a burden with somebody, it's weird to try to move this tub, but we get a lot of people to do it. There's still a weight, isn't there? When you share a burden with somebody, you feel it. It hurts. If you care about them, you love them, it weighs on you. Sometimes, you know, I know people have been hurting, and I can feel it. And you've heard this saying, if a burden that's shared is cut in half, and then a joy share is doubled. It's doubled. So he was so excited about being baptized today and receiving communion. She's going to receive communion first. She's so excited. Well, I love Zoe. And I feel that. You know, I get to share in that. You're sharing some heaviness, but you're sharing some joy. That's what it is to be a priest. That's what we do as we love one another and care for one another in this church. So, the simple message, love one another and bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? To love one another as Christ has loved us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's be a church of priests ministering to each other. Father, we just thank you. The end of that baptismal service, we welcome those Daniel and Zoe to be part of the royal priesthood of all believers. Lord, just help us to be priests, connecting people with God and God with people wherever we go and whatever we do. What a great purpose you've given us, Lord. Lord, I know there's nothing better in the world than to sense that God has used you to minister to somebody else. Thank you for giving us such a purpose, a great purpose to our life. If there's anyone here that hasn't found their purpose, I pray they would not look inward, but they would look upward to find their purpose. I ask this in the name of love, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.